So we got big news. Today's podcast is on Sunday. Beginning this week, we are now going to be releasing four podcasts a week. We've been doing three. We're going to add another one in by demand. So many sponsors want to join in. So many people want to hear more. So, Dad, they want more of Unashamed.
Shouldn't we have discussed this? Or
No. You just, I'm producing. We just keep churning. Just, you're like a hamster in a wheel, Jace. You just got to keep running. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are going to be our podcast releases. We got some cool guests we're going to have on here.
You know what this means? I'm going to have to start letting y'all talk more.
That's right. That's the number one complaint. Jace talks to him. They want to hear more from me and Dad. So check it out this week. Tell your friends. Recruit other people. Unashamed Nation is growing, and we do appreciate the opportunity we get to talk for a living.
I am unashamed. What about you?
My point is what we read the last time we were together. When in John 10:18, he said, "No one takes it from me," talking about his life.
Yeah.
In death.
Yep.
"But I lay it down of my own accord." Here's this statement. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again.
And that's what they were struggling with. Wait a minute.
Let's just think about this. I mean, because the next chapter, Lazarus was raised from the dead. I'm sure he spent the remainder of his life on earth talking about and answering questions about, well, what was it like? I mean, what? Boy, he's
you
like a hero.
4 days.
You remember they got up. They later on met all up at his house.
Yeah.
Why? Because they want to talk about it. And they say, "You were dead. Did you see a light? Did you see the tone?" But here's what I'm saying. There's a difference in being raised from the dead.
Did you see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, there's a difference in being raised from the dead and someone rising from the dead by his own authority. That's the difference. That's why I'm saying who Jesus is of greater impact. Because here's a guy, I know the Godhead is complex, but he is one with the Spirit and the Father. And since he has the authority to do this, that makes him more awesome than everybody else who could possibly come back from the dead. It's like if I hit a hole in one, we all talk about it because it's almost a miracle, right? But if a guy was standing there and said, "You want to see a hole in one?" And he put some mojo on my swing and the ball to make it go in the hole. Well, I need this guy here is way more important than me.
And his gawking.
Because I'm looking down.
You run with him, thinking, you won't have to practice near as much.
I thought I sliced that thing, but it went right in the hole. So that was my only conjecture. If you introduce who Jesus is, then when he died, you start saying, "Well, wait a minute, he's a different being than everybody else that's been on the planet or will be."
But I think the reason they missed it is the same reason they all missed it. I mean, we've seen this in John over and over and over again, because they had just like with the guy in John 9, they had a bad view of what his purpose was. See, they had a view in their mind of what the Messiah was going to do, and all it was going to be was make Israel the greatest nation on earth and rule everybody else. That's all they were thinking about was the physical. And he never could get them to understand that this kingdom was not of this world. It was bigger. See what I'm saying? So that bad theology that they had learned their whole lives as good Jews now comes back to haunt them, because he's telling them, "No, this is what it's going to be. The kingdom of heaven is light. The kingdom of heaven is light. The kingdom of heaven is light. And I've got to be raised to lead this thing." And not only did they miss him, they missed the purpose of why he came.
See, but Al,
it was just a bad way of looking at it.
I've met maybe two or three people on the earth who said they weren't going to die, or they had some power over death outside of Jesus. Well,
you told the story about the guy who was going to drink the battery.
He was. I mean, I thought, how is he going to get out of this? We were down to the battery acid in a metal container. He was fixed to prove that he had the power. And I thought, now, how in the world is he going to get out of this? Because somebody's going to have to call 911. I'd call him now because
he ain't gonna
he's
have
not
going
to have long. We're fixed to drink battery acid here. So he got right to the cup, and he was like, I can't. It's not going to work because you don't believe. He pointed at me. He said, you don't believe. I was like, don't believe what? He's like, you don't believe in this power. So that doubt is could cause me some problems. I was like, my doubt or your doubt?
I was going to say, if I were drinking the battery, I said, I might be with you
but
there.
I saw he manipulated people because he's like, if this miracle wouldn't work, yeah. He's like, well, you didn't believe strong enough.
Right.
If you believe it, I could have done it. Well, what a deranged. So I was just making a point. Sometimes when people say Jesus was raised from the dead, they miss like somebody else did it. You know, no, he was in full control of death and life. Now, granted, he's a different kind of being. Because it says the same spirit who is in us, Romans 8:11.
Well, it makes a point. He is his body at the same time, which is pretty interesting. His body did not see decay.
I love that verse.
When people die, your body begins to decay pretty well immediately.
That's right.
That's Acts 2. Peter preached that.
Peter and them made a point of that. They said right. His body didn't
And
see
by
decay.
The way, that was a prophecy from, was it Joel 2?
Oh, yeah.
So this had been talked about hundreds of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That his body would not see decay.
That's right.
So it'd been around a long time.
We were going to introduce our guest.
Well, we will. We'll get there.
But a small argument broke out pre-show.
And we just decided to start rolling the camera.
But I'm sitting here wondering, why am I here? What is the purpose for me sitting in this chair?
That's a sense of belonging.
For 130 episodes for Jace, and now it's his podcast.
Well, unlike Jace, I do not have the gift of gab, or AKA blowing smoke, AKA shooting off at the mouth.
That's little bit more brutal than I've been saying. He always has a lot of stories. Oh, he never runs out of stories, but I never used that particular language.
You know what's crazy is this is my guy. Yeah.
What are y'all running out of the mouth and gift a gab?
All right, we'll continue your argument. Then we'll break.
Well,
we'll
I was just going to say in Peter's sermon, when he preached, he did say his body, what was your line? Where was that at? That his body
did not see decay.
Where is that at?
He's quoting Joel, too. It's in Acts 2.
Yeah, he's quoting. It's Acts
earlier.
Oh, yeah. Earlier. Acts 2, 27, because you will not abandon me to the grave. Good memory out. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. But that was right before he quoted that. He said, in 2:24, there's a couple things here. One of them I'm not sure about. When it said God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. That's the one thing I'm not real sure about. But if you read that, I don't know how you can deduce that it's agonizing to be dead.
Well, I think it's more he meant to die. The agony is moment
I thought
of
that. I don't agree. It's said because God
you can
raised.
Be wrong about something.
But he said, but God.
That's allowed on this show.
Well, God, just think about how it says it. Because I know most people think that, and that's what I thought, just because I'd never heard a different opinion. Right. But the more I stared at it, it says God raised him from the dead. That happened. Freeing him from the agony of death.
Well, so here's another theory.
So before you answer,
all right.
What about all the verses about the groaning? Meanwhile, we groan.
Right.
But why would you groan? I would groan if I was in agony in some sort. Just a thought.
It could be. Or it could be the fact that he's God in flesh, and the agony was God can't die.
No.
I agree with that.
So what I'm saying is he may have been experiencing this solely himself, that only as the only human being that ever was God, he died.
I had the same thought, but then I thought if we have the same spirit, we're in the same boat.
Then it could be. You may be right.
That's why he had to become flesh or it just wouldn't have worked out.
You're right on that, Phil.
Exactly right.
John 5, I think.
Well, in Hebrews 2, I mean, same.
But I wanted to say this also. But then he said, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him, which is why I think it freed him from the agony of being death, because he then uses that phrase, it was impossible for death to keep its hold. Well, that, to me, makes sense that it would be agonizing, because somehow or another he's in a dead state, which it's impossible for him to be in, and it has some hold on him for 3 days. But it was impossible for that to continue, because it just didn't.
Well, it does maybe lead you to the greater question of what, where we go, what happens in the interim, all that. You know, is it soul sleep? Is it, are we someplace? Is there an
Peter
awareness?
And
are
Paul we, you know, said, when you physically die, it is in fact a departure. Your soul and spirit go to be with God, and your body stays asleep.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes back, he's going to wake it up.
The phrase. Right. Asleep, but you know, think about how to describe in our English language from Greek what that is.
It's hard.
Somebody said, "How about asleep?"
Because it appears like
sleep. What are you going to call it? I'm just saying.
Well, it's like Dad talks about the when you have an operation and they literally put you to a deeper sleep where you can't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have no awareness of anything that's ever happened.
No, I mean, time.
It's
no
different than when you sleep, right? Because when you sleep and you wake up, you realize
it. I think that is a good way to look at it when it comes to time. But as far as you sleeping, I mean, I've had some wild, and you have too. While I'm sleeping,
Dad fights in this.
There's a lot going on. Oh,
Dad's he's a warrior. He's mom has to protect herself.
Oh,
from
been,
Dad.
It's been, you know, a battle zone in my dreams.
But see, look, I think you've stumbled up on a point.
If stuff starts flying around, I end up just out of the bed, kawoom, hitting the floor. I mean, you know.
But just think about it. If you had all these thoughts, motives, and desires, and you had no way to express it, wouldn't that be agonizing? Let's just say you... Let's say you were asleep, light like that. Well, you got all this going on. It's not real because you can't really express it. That's why he gave us body, soul, and spirit. That's why I'm such a proponent in the bodily resurrection. I mean, Jesus was walking around saying, look at here. Look at my hands and my feet. He had some way, even though it was a cooler body, by that I mean he could change his form. He could transport. He could fly without a... space engine.
He literally left the atmosphere.
So, okay, that's impressive. Wow. But I'm getting back to his character and what he said in his claim. When his death happened, I know some of these guys, and maybe it took the resurrection for it to sink in, they thought, you remember that time he said he had the authority to take? He's like, they're not going to take my life. I give it freely. I have that authority to give it and to take it back up.
But you think about it.
If you have that authority, you are the greatest thing that has ever walked the planet.
But they didn't really even know post-resurrection because he was there 40 days. But he left here, say, still explaining the kingdom of God. So they still didn't fully get it until Acts 1 when the Holy Spirit showed up in Acts 1 and Acts 2. That's when they got it. So I don't know if you guys ever get a Christmas feel, like it feels like you were a kid in Christmas. Is there anything that comes to your house when you're like, you see it and you're like, oh, it's like you're excited about opening up a box. Has that ever happened to you?
Maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's still happening for me. Dad, you don't even open your mail, do you? People just open it and bring it to you. You're both missing something. So every month when my Black Rifle coffee, there's a box, and I know exactly what it looks like, when it shows up, I mean, I feel like a kid at Christmas. I'm that excited about getting to open up this coffee. So I'm a member, as well as our podcast, on the Coffee of the Month Club with Black Rifle Coffee, which is what we drink here on the Unashamed podcast set in the lair. Great company, great American company. Their CEO and founder, he was 20 years in the U.S. Army, Special Forces, CIA. These guys rock, which we're always supportive of veterans and military. So we want you to check it out. Go to their website, which is blackriflecoffee.com, and you can figure out how you can sign up for their Coffee of the Month. If you like the single shot servings, you can do that as well. Here's one that they support police. So you see, these guys are like us. They're not afraid in this current cancel culture. So check them out, blackriflecoffee.com/Phil. If you use the promo code Phil, you're going to save 20% off your first purchase, and that also includes the club. So you want to join up, experience Christmas just like I do.
We're back to our your plan.
Well, that's what I, you know, the Unashamed podcast is, we don't know what the plan is till we, I mean, I have some things that I've come up with, but that may not be where we go, which I think is why people like it.
Well, introduce Jay. This ought to be
so we got to, so I didn't even thought about this, Jay. So Phyllis is the one, so we were together with her last week, and she was like, you guys need to have Jay Stone on your podcast.
I have referenced you many times.
Well, and I think it's because she's a podcast listener. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do it, but we don't really listen other than just me making sure it's going well. So, like, she's a fan of the podcast. So she was like, y'all keep talking about Jay Stone. Of course, she knows you, obviously, because, you know, you're in the family. But she's like, but, I mean, the audience would love to meet Jay Stone. She,
well,
I
give know the, what's the quick bio?
So Jay is my son-in-law, which we've talked about him enough. The audience pretty much knows. He's married to Anna. He's married to Anna, my oldest daughter. Dad has told the story multiple times about how he basically had a prearranged. We were almost like a we went back. We had everything but a diary.
Phil gave the blessing before the sparks were even in the air.
Well, right.
What you need to do.
No, I didn't bless it at that point. I just told him a avenue that was open to him. I said, I've cleared you, vetted you, and found you to be a man of worth marrying my granddaughter.
I mean, don't I said, take this the wrong way, Phil, but it reminded me of a bunch of guys in a blind, like, seeing a truck, you know, a new truck on a lot, saying, you know where you ought to go down here. There's a new truck on the lot, and go ahead and pick that thing up. It'd be a great vehicle. That's what it seemed like.
I was just letting him know if he had thoughts about marrying, if he wanted to be a eunuch the rest of his life. I didn't care. But if you were thinking about marriage, consider my granddaughter. I think she's coming out of pretty good stock.
I think in Dad's defense, I think what there had been
I cleared it, but told her Al had not cleared us. You had to Al's going to be the final word.
I'm sure through Mom, there had already been a discussion that wasn't a part of the truck buying discussion, where there was a conversation that there may be some romantic overtones that are happening.
See, I missed the romantic.
Yeah, look, I don't know that for sure, but no, me knowing Mom.
I literally thought he said, make you move. And Jay didn't say a word. He just sat there. And literally 2 weeks later, I look up and they're going out. And I thought, he did that.
So 17 years. So what was your thought about the conversation?
Well,
y'all had already been having discussions, I'm sure.
Well,
you're living with John and Paula across the street from us. So you're in the vicinity.
Which is Godwin.
Here's the deal. I've been around y'all for about 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the Robertson gene is strong, strong in the art of storytelling. Number one.
I think our audience would agree.
And, well, the exception is my wife, one of them, because she's like me.
Yep.
She doesn't like to shoot off at the mouth.
She's super quiet.
She's quiet. Well, so we get along perfect. We'll drive all the way to the beach, and there will not be one word spoken.
That's probably a sign of trouble.
No, in their case. He's right.
No trouble.
Just nothing to say.
Nothing to say.
That's kind of depressing.
No, I mean that's the way we like it.
There's not 1 second of if we drive to the beach, there's not 1 second where someone's not talking.
Oh well, see, I couldn't handle that. I don't enjoy that at all. That's why we're married.
If you get a chance to ride with me to the beach, go make some other plans.
We've been in one fight in 16 years.
How long did it
last?
That's
a true story. About a week.
Right.
It lasted about a week, but that's the only one.
And I can attest because we live next door. That was
mostly Phil's fault.
Uh-oh.
Because he
stay out of it, Phil.
Phil ripped her for hiding money from me. And then she didn't talk to me for about a week. And then that was the end of it.
Wait a minute.
That's the last fight we've been in.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
She hid some money from you?
Oh, yeah, all of it.
Well,
all the money.
You mean you couldn't
hide it?
You
like
couldn't get to any of the money that you actually were making?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't get to any
of it. I think that's when I said you might ought to nip that in the bud.
Oh, yeah. She got mad.
He was giving like an overview of, because Nan's tight. I mean, she's
You know where the money is now. Did y'all correct that?
Oh, yeah. She takes care of all the money.
So
nothing changed.
Right.
Oh, but you can just get
But
to
I
it.
Can access
she's
it.
She's very thrifty. Yeah. I'm being kind here. She's very thrifty.
She's got an alarm on her phone. Anytime I spend an amount over $20, it's beep, 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 beep. She'll call me up. She'll say, what did you just buy at Academy?
Really?
I'll say, battery. Okay.
Yeah, it would take me a while to adjust to that.
Well, here's what's weird. I didn't know that she didn't get it from her parents.
No, she did not. No. Which is why I'm kind of proud of her in one way, because she took a weakness we had, but she went a little far, you know, with it. But she took a weakness and turned it into a strength, which for that.
Kind of like me and the drinking when I was, you know, I saw Phil drinking way too much, and I said, I ain't doing that.
Right.
I mean, I like six, seven years old.
You saw a weakness and you thought,
I ain't doing it.
Would it be a fair statement? I don't know. But I've always thought that just from being in the retail business, people walking by at these shows and all that, and a guy wants to come up there and he might want to buy a DVD or a duck call way back in the day.
Yep.
And I noticed they would look at the woman.
She's back from the table. She's not standing.
I would get physically nauseous when that would happen.
Yeah, I saw that. And I saw that a lot. So I came up with an idea, a constant. I said, you know, I think most of the money, the proceeds from the labor of humanity, I think most of it ends up in the women's purses, not the man's billfold.
Correct.
It just seems that way. I could be wrong.
People make jokes about that, but I
could be wrong.
Well, and there's probably a lot of reasons why. Like most of the rednecks we know, I mean, you look in their yard and you look around in their stuff and you see they have some impulse buying problems.
Well, yeah, male and female.
Exactly.
People, both. All the time they'll say, oh, a woman's spending all the money. And I'm looking at his stuff. I'm saying,
you're spending
a lot of it.
And your purchases are usually a lot bigger. Sort of like mom and dad. Right. Mom outspends dad 1,000 to 1.
No doubt.
But I will say this, Dad, when you buy something, it's big. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
go buy a $20,000 ski boat, she needs to go on a 5-year shopping spree.
But the point is, if you're both thinking that way, you wind up like where Lisa and I were. So back to Nan, and to defend her, look, she's not a controlling person. Mm-hmm. So, and Jay, that's a true statement, right? Now, if she was controlling and had this issue, that would
be
a problem.
So when you do need some funds for your particular line of work, you're a duck hunter, a deer hunter, you're a woodsman. When you need a little money, how do you go about doing that? Because she has it.
Plastic.
Well, he's got the card. Yeah. He can spend the money.
I can
spend
it.
So you clear it with her? Or you just do it?
I just do it.
But he knows she's going to ask about it.
And then she asks, and then but she never gripes. Never gripes about it.
She's not a gripe.
Ever.
So she doesn't, I tell you,
No, never.
Well, that's not a bad deal.
Never.
So.
Look.
And she's not she's not just throwing money in the wind either. So she's pretty thrifty with your money.
That's right. That's right.
That's why I'm saying it's not necessarily.
No, it's
of course,
the perfect.
Y'all both work at Duck Commander, so both of you have a
salary.
So
I want to talk about that. So let's take another break. So Jace, we talk a lot about sleep on this podcast because we have some great sponsors. One of them is Helix, which has some mattresses that you guys have tried. Mm-hmm. They've launched a new company called Allform that does couches, and they sent me a couch. And I have to admit, I was surprised because I was expecting just like a big, fully ready-to-go couch, but there was like 6 boxes, and I was like, oh, you know, because I loathe putting stuff together. You know, Lisa will order stuff and like, oh, come put this together. Yeah. But we took it all out. And it was just the big pieces and just a couple little things, but it was super simple. We put it together in about 15 or 20 minutes, which was amazing for me to do something like that. I'm not a good put-together.
I'm shocked.
So I want you to come check it out because you're going to want to get one too.
I'm a couch man. I love a good couch. Everybody gets their little seats in the duck blind, and I'm like, why not a couch?
A couch? Well, maybe we can put an all-form couch in our duck blind. What about that, Dad? Could you get off of it to shoot?
Well, and then you could take a nap.
Yep.
You can't take a nap in a chair.
So look, if you go to their website, I want you guys to check it out. You're able to pick out your color, the size, because they have a lot of different sizes. We got the bigger one. And look, this thing is without risk because you get 100 days to decide whether you like it or not. So that's over 3 months. So you get a full refund if you don't. They also have a forever warranty, literally forever. That's what they say, which is, I've never heard anybody say that, which means they know they have a
good product. They're basically saying if you're driving down the road, you're not going to see this on the side of the road.
That's exactly right. This isn't sitting in front of a dumpster.
Of course, I learned the hard way. Don't stop.
Don't pick it up.
I noticed the rednecks, they throw their couches out in the ditch.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Don't ever go near that.
don't go there. That's bad. So check it out. Allform, Allform, allform.com/unashamed. They're offering 20% off for all orders for our listeners. So check them out. Allform.com/unashamed to get you a comfortable couch. Stay away from the dumpster. So Jay, explain your role. You were a teacher and a coach when you and Anna first got married.
Yep.
And then tell us what
happened. So I'll finish the story that Phil started. So Phil did the little deal in the blind. Hey, make you move. Everybody laughed, you know. Huh? So,
but I wasn't kidding.
But he wasn't kidding. And so I realized that. And I would say a couple months later, Miss Kay, we were eating lunch, and she pulled me over there, and she said, you know, my granddaughter's got a crush on you. I said, yeah, I heard, you know. Then about a month later, Paula pulled me over there and said, look, Anna really likes you. You need to do something. So I'm like,
all right. She loves you. Move.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, whatever. So a week later, Anna comes up to me and she said, hey, this girl over here wants, got the girl's name, you know, she's single, you know, she's looking to date somebody. So she set me up with this other girl.
Yeah.
Well, this is getting weird. What
kind of ploy is that?
I don't know. I'm
stuck on him and I'm going to line him up with somebody else.
So I go out with this other girl.
She's pretty smart. She was testing him.
And it turns out the meanest woman I ever met in my life. Mean.
This shows you how smart.
So she put the mean one on you, so you would appreciate the meek one.
That's
over
right.
There.
That's right. Oh, so about 3 weeks into that.
You don't think these women are not smart?
Oh, yeah. She pulls me out to the side and she said, look, you don't need to mess around with her. You can go out with me. I said, all right. Where you want to go? So,
well, I like it that in this story, Jay's just like willing to, yeah, all right, well, let's just see. Let's
I've
let
heard a lot on relationships and how you form one, but that one is a doozy.
At some point, I'm feeling like you need some drive. You know?
Oh, I got plenty of drive, son. Plenty of it. So, a few months later, you know, she's like, hey, let's get hitched. So we got hitched. Got three
so
kids.
So she asked you to marry her?
No. I did. I did the asking.
And he came to me.
I came to Al first.
He came to me first.
And I told him.
Even before they dated again.
So how did you present it to her when you said, we're going to spend our life together the rest of our days? Mm-hmm. How did you bring that up?
To be honest with you, I do not remember.
Oh, that's bad.
Anything but that
she doesn't,
I
she let it be
well,
known.
Well, she probably doesn't either. That's what's bad.
She no, doesn't
she
care that
she
don't
care.
Remember.
She don't care that I don't remember, and I don't care that she don't remember. That's why it works. Look, the woman, she don't cook a lick. Okay?
Are you complaining about this?
No, I am not complaining. Oh. You will never hear me complain about anything she does. Anything.
I like that.
So the woman loves me, she loves Jesus, and that's enough.
Yeah.
And your kids.
And she's a great
That's
mom.
Right, and my kids. A great mom.
And Jay is perfect. A great cook.
And you learned how to cook.
And I learned how to cook, mostly from you.
Yep.
And then Lisa and I are nearby, and we usually all eat together because we kind of have a family.
I always figured if a woman pulls out on you and takes off with somebody or leaves or whatever or passes on, you say you would, I would think to have a semblance of foodstuffs, you need to have a certain amount of cooking skills.
Right.
I would just say anybody ought to have a certain amount of cooking skills. I see on that black box that that you know the advertisement the foods is sent. Some guy walks up there and you know you get it. You walk back in there and you look in a box. It's pre cooked, ready to go. And the woman tastes it. She said, "Oh my goodness, we don't have to cook anymore." She said, "This is good." So cooking,
they're jumping around, they're hugging and
cooking.
Happy.
Oh, they're jumping up and down, saying, "We never have to cook again."
That's right. That's why the restaurants before COVID were always full And now you got this comes to your door.
So I wonder they just, how that's working now. I mean, is that the way it's working?
That's
is
what it? They do. They don't cook. People don't cook anymore. I mean, it's just as a whole. I mean, unless you teach it and it goes forward, male or female, people just buy it.
By the way, Jace, you're somewhat of a Bible scholar, to your credit.
I must have won the
so
argument.
Is there any clear text on how husbands and wives spend their money? Is there any clear text that's out? Is that even mentioned, biblically speaking? You know, the love of money is a root of all kind of evil. People who want to get rich, you got that.
But the first
like
verse,
a woman's role in marriage and yeah. a man's role.
I think
the answer is no.
It's no, but I will say this. You know, because to me, I look at it from when Jesus defined marriage in Matthew 19, which I'm so glad he did, because who would think in our culture 2,000 years ago, people would have trouble identifying that a male and female getting married in the sight
and
of God.
And by the way, I've heard people say that. Well, Jesus never addressed this, talking about anything that's not a husband and wife.
Oh, he defined it.
He defined it. He addressed it by saying, this is the way you do it.
He got real specific.
Very
specific. He said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. And then I love the next three words. For this reason.
That's right.
A man will be united to his wife. So he defined marriage. But then he said what they say at weddings, whether they believe it or not. What God has joined together, let not man separate. And so the two becomes one. I mean, you are one. My wife, one of her many great qualities is that she's constantly reminding me that every couple of days, you know, because we don't really have anything in common outside of Jesus. I always say this, but that's enough. It's plenty. It's more than enough. But she will say, we're one. Yeah. We're whatever you do, I'm doing. So to me, this where somebody got the idea of degrading women early in the 1900s, which is all what it was. I noticed.
They wouldn't even let them vote till they
I noticed.
19,
it's been
20.
Around for a
I
long
noticed
time.
Yesterday, Trump.
I mean, I look at that now and I find it pretty amazing.
It's
Trump
sad.
Pardoned Susan B. Anthony for something about because she voted or and so they had charged her with something. So I noticed that yesterday. It was kind of.
But I noticed, Jace, you can elaborate on this.
Just to say my point is I think whoever's doing the providing, like my wife. The first 10 years of our marriage, she worked her tail off in a corporate setting, in a job that she
didn't really like it.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, she grew to like it or whatever. But I'm like, we're one. We're providing for each other. So I don't know where we got into these stereotypes. But
okay, hang on for well, you. Hang on, Dad, before you read that. Let's take another break. So one of the things we realize with this whole kind of working from home is that people are pretty creative, you know, during the coronavirus and all that, and to keep business going. Jason, you were talking about with the stock market. I mean, American business is tough, you know, because I mean, like everybody's like some countries are like, oh no, what are we going to do? And Americans are like, we got to adapt, we got to figure out how to work, we got to work from home, whatever we got to do, we got to make it happen.
That's what made America. Great. Yeah. I mean, they're tough. You back against the wall, they're going to work.
And Jace is our stock market guy. I mean, it's coming back strong because, are making money. So we got a company here that really understands this. It's called NetSuite, NetSuite by Oracle. And it's the world's number one cloud business system. And, Dad, you always talk about computer land. There really is this place called the cloud that has all this information for business and individuals as well. So what they do is they focus on financials, human resources, inventory, e-commerce. And look, you don't have to be a small company or a big company. You can be any size and use these guys. Really good. 20,000 companies trust NetSuite to make it happen. So we want to encourage you guys to go to their website. You get a free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now. You schedule your free product tour. So that's NetSuite. NetSuite, NetSuite.com/Phil. Get the free guide, get the free product tour, NetSuite.com/Phil.
It is worthy of note that one of the thing, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6, 7, 8, 8 times in the 3 little short chapters of Titus, the Apostle Paul said Titus was my true son in our common faith. He didn't mean he was kin to him, but I don't think he just meant in the faith he was like a son to him. And he's given him this various things to do, starting with elders. And he starts down in chapter 2, he says, teach the older women. Now, he's talking to Titus. He said, so in your teaching, in Bible studies, you sit down and you teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to, and here's the list, to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home. Busy at home. Yeah, they're the homemakers. I mean, they're Miss Kay, y'all's mother, who is responsible for bringing y'all on the earth, she gives me, without fail, ever without fail, she always gives me a briefing on the menu prior to it being cooked and served. She gives me a briefing on what's fixing to go down in the way of food and when it will be there. She says, okay. Now, when y'all get back after the podcast, I'll have some those quick fried pork chops if y'all want to. You can wait that evening if you want to.
Did
if you got
say that to, today for real?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, every day.
Pork chop?
Oh, every day. Yeah, the pork chops are there. So
that's today.
That's good news for y'all.
That's what Jay's his favorite.
Yeah, I was but what I'm saying is, this was a story.
Now look
real.
You said, well, you made her do that. And you, no, I didn't. I never brought it up. Always brief me on what we're fixing. No, I never said a word about it.
Right.
She's going to leave for 3 days and all that. She'll say, okay, I'm going to be gone. I'll be in Austin with Jeff and his kids, and we're flying down on Friday, and we'll be back next Thursday. She said, what you got is you have a honey ham in there, and you can eat that with ham sandwiches, you know. Y'all can make ham and cheese sandwich if you want to. And she said, save the bone now because I'll put that in beans. So, and she says, you'll have hamburger meat if y'all wanted to try that. And because Dan's going to bring the hamburger meat on Saturday, you might want to have burgers on Saturday. She's giving me a food update and a menu update every time till it's amazing. She'll say, okay, look, and she'll tell me what she thinks. She'll say, had you rather have this or that, you know, on Tuesday, had you rather have... If you know, I could get some beans.
But you do live way away from civilization.
That's true.
Yeah, we don't run to town too
well,
often.
Well, right. Like yeah. Most people are sitting here thinking, well, she why are they having cabinets.
This
discussion?
I'll say this. So this is a good thing for the audience to understand, too. This is seasonal, though. Mom at 72, at this season of her life, she's always managed her home. But she's going to be much more direct. When she was actually keeping all the books for the business and you were building duck calls and she was raising us and we were going to school, it wasn't quite this attentive
detail
correct. To you. So you got to remember as an audience, the people are listening, you're young in your marriage, you're like, well, my wife would never do that. Well, yeah. I mean, if she loves you, it's just in the season you are right now, you know, mom wasn't that attentive back in the day. She couldn't be. She had to, you know, she had to take
care of it. I mean, I'm fine. And I'm looking down at the floor. She stopped me today and she started going through the menu and all that. But if she does it every day. And I mean, usually breakfast, dinner, supper, in between meals, she lines the whole thing out. But to be self-controlled and pure, be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands. Subject to their husbands. You want to, because in our society now, they don't even like the idea of husband.
Yeah, they call that
wife.
Patriarchal. And
the nuclear family, I don't know who got the nuclear part. What is it? Fit to blow up? I don't know. But they say the nuclear family.
They mean
this day and age, Jace, they don't like the idea. A certain segment of the population, the Democratic Party, they do not like the idea of mama, daddy,
right.
children and these quantities I'm reading, they're not buying into what I'm reading right here at all.
They call that a nuclear.
Would you agree to that, Dale?
It's true. And basically, there are organizations.
So has that helped our nation when people say we're talking about a spiritual family, you know, and these are saved people. They fear God. They love Jesus like he's talking about. I'm looking at these qualities down here. I'm looking at all these qualities, and I'm thinking about Nan, because Jace married your granddaughter. That's her.
Yeah.
She never gets on anybody's nerves.
Well,
she
to just, be fair, people also object to being in subjection to Jesus.
Correct.
With the same principle.
That's right.
The problem is they're not going to surrender their will to anybody.
But you heard Jay said a minute ago, he said, I would never mistreat my wife. I mean, right. And you'd be the same way, right? I mean, like.
Well, Ephesians 5, look, says something about it. All the husbands get up on the edge of their seat when it says, wives, be submissive to the husband. But they should sit back and let their, you know, back hit the seat when it says, and you be like Christ, who gave himself up for her.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
It's in verse 14. It says, so I counsel younger widows to marry, because it said if they don't have the control to keep themselves pure, he says, I counsel them to marry. I think it's interesting to have children to manage their homes and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. And so when I hear something like that, so a lot of people say, well, how come she's monitoring what he's doing? I thought she's supposed to be in subjection. Oh, she's managing the home, and you're in it.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, my wife
she wants
has come
to know
out
where
many,
the money is going.
Many times and said, you want to buy what?
Yeah.
Cause I'll, and she's like, that's just dumb.
Hey, look,
I'm and like, I'm like, you know what? She's right.
Well, that's right.
I wasn't thinking, well, I'm in control of this house. No, she called me on this. That was a dumb decision.
I've often told husbands many, many times, if you have to tell your wife you're the head of the house, you're not.
And all these people in the world who say they'll sit down, they can't get along with their wife. It's a madhouse, and then they'll tell me. I mean, I'd die for my wife, and I'm like, no, you wouldn't.
Because you won't live for it.
You won't even do this one little thing.
That's right.
Your head can't get through the door. That's your go-to. You'll try to just, oh, I would die. I'll take a bullet for you. No, you won't. Go get me a gun.
That's right.
It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, laying down your life means more than just being killed. It means living your life
for
somebody.
Well, that's the hypocrisy of it all. You know, what was you going to say, Jim?
I forgot because y'all kept talking.
You got to jump in here, Jack.
Oh, I've listened to your podcast.
Okay? Have you?
Oh, yeah. Through Godwin's computer, who sits across from me while I work, and he watches y'all's podcast.
And what you're saying is he's not quite producing the
I've heard the podcast. What I'm saying is the Jace is number one alpha, then Phil, and then Al in that order. Because then I went over there and Godwin said, look at these comments. So I don't know if you read the comments.
No,
we don't ever
own your don't ever read comments.
We never
that's
do.
Good
well,
advice.
That's just a general rule.
All right. So the number one comment was, Jace, please let your dad finish.
Yeah.
Jace, please, can we let Al finish a sentence? Yeah. That's the number one comment
Yeah.
On the podcast.
Al sent me one email from this woman who said, will you quit talking? You had a guest on there. And
that's
you
talk. Right.
They go in on a morning duck hunt, and for 1 hour they're arguing about the spread. Meaning too many decoys, not in the right place.
This was not spinning over here.
Spinning. That was not. And they're looking at it. They're saying a few ducks come by. They don't come in. They're like, okay, here's what the problem. So they go out and look. They'll just tear out of the blind, rearrange everything, get back on the blind, and then they'll hunt there for the next 30 minutes or an hour. They're like, no. I tell you what, we did. We went too far, and they go out there again. And they, I've seen them rework the decoy spread.
Being a professional.
That's it.
Y'all get y'all's feelings hurt when someone disagrees with you, and therefore you can't reach your potential.
Yeah. Sometimes we're right here, and they're putting the decoys way over there, and I'm like, y'all got the decoys where if ducks light over there, they're too far to shoot.
Oh, that was Jay.
And Jay's just like, oh, no.
I didn't agree with that.
With the wind the way it is, the wind's out of the northeast, what they'll do is
they're going to light in between us.
I will say, the old Cypress Lake hole worked. It did.
I put the decoys out there, and Phil said, too far. And so I said, well, this is the dumbest thing, because he's shooting equivalent of a pop shooter.
So what y'all realize, we have a plan. And it's getting harder as people are getting long in the tooth, you know. So we get a plan to say, okay, you carry the seniors to the blind. Yep. I'll carry the decoys. You get the car battery, hook up the apparatuses, and hopefully we can get all this done in under an hour. And I'm going to run and get some brush and go ahead and brush this blind before we hunt. So all this takes, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Every morning. To get ready to duck hunt, there's been many a man fall by the wayside trying to hunt with us.
You had to lose 70 pounds and get in excellent shape so you and Jay's could take care of all us
That's right.
Stone went in the back end of military training and beyond.
That's right. Yeah,
way beyond.
Just to be able to handle the duck hunt.
Phil nicknamed us Mutt and Jeff, which I didn't see that show or whatever that is.
Either.
Comic strip.
I don't remember what it was.
So we nicknamed him and Si No Country for old men.
That's it.
And I'm in between. Every day we hunt, is the old man down here. I'm in between, and the younger, which aren't so young anymore.
We're not that young.
That's exactly
right. I have to admit, Si's the only one that gets us riled up, because Si literally does nothing. And he shows up. We haul him out there. He plops down, and he looks out there and says, y'all got the decoys too far.
Why are we hunting this hole? I told y'all we should have hunted out here. He always has.
Who took my bucket? Who took my seat? It's the whole time. So, and I'm like, glad you could make it, Si.
But what people don't realize is what they say all the time, my old friends from high school, I say, boy, I sure do wish I could go hunt with y'all. I said, no, you don't. You don't want to hunt with us.
Right.
That's the last thing you want to do. What do you mean? I said it would be the worst duck hunting experience of your life.
It's also everybody's so stuck in there. But we're almost out of time. I want to tell them, Jay, about you and Si. Jay and Si do a lot of fishing stuff together, but y'all are doing a grill thing. So where can folks go to see this new grill thing? Are there YouTube videos or? I want to let folks know about it, because Jay is an excellent griller.
Well, Si's Facebook page.
All right.
It's got all of it.
All right, so go to there. They make videos. They're funny.
That thing is, it's a cooking deal now. Well, it's handier than a pocket on a shirt.
Jay is our griller now. Even Dad's like it. He, like when Stone's there, it's like
he's
Stone
figured out how to cook old deer. He goes through an aging process.
Yep. He's got an old brine
and
thing.
They're basically, you've got fire on them, but they're slow cooked.
Mm-hmm.
But they're hanging in there. You got a barrel there. You're hanging
them. He should have checked with me before he did that. I know how to correct that problem.
Yeah. Don't shoot old deer.
Like old does and old doe.
Deer. I know he's gonna say don't that. Shoot them.
He's culling the herd though, but he's found a way to make it delicious.
We appreciate your contribution to society.
That's exactly right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome for Jay. That's really good. So we'll catch you guys. Oh, one thing I want to announce as we close out here. So this is Sunday. Podcast. So starting this week, we're going to be releasing, because of severe demand for more podcasts, which is amazing, and sponsorship, to 4 days a week. So we're on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday,
nobody
and Friday.
Asked me about that.
They didn't ask me either.
And your name's on the podcast. That shows you who's running the show here. So
we abruptly end this podcast for an immediate meeting
for a week.
Now you see who's really running the show.
If we're not careful, we're going to turn this thing into some work.
It is work, but it's good work because we get to talk about good stuff.
So check it out. I would not call this work by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not?
No. No.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.